Makeda is an expert in finding your brand and your voice and how you can stand out in a crowded market. So let's dive on in for all of those who are running architecture firms and running organizations in the built environment. Listen up because you're going to learn a thing or two. Welcome to the podcast, Nikita. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, you have a fantastic brand in yourself and you have a very interesting story and are doing some fascinating things in the industry. Thank you for joining. And do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do and who you help?
Sure. So thank you for having me, firstly. I am a messaging strategist for architects. I've been doing this for nearly 10 years now, so over a decade. I work with clients all over the world, so architects of big firms, small firms, all different sizes. And I basically just help them with their positioning, their brand messaging, their copywriting, their websites, to really help them get a steady stream of the projects they really want. So, yes.
And I think that's one of the things, isn't it? Because in the architecture world, I mean, we're talking there's tens of thousands of firms in Australia. And, you know, there's so many who are small. It's one of those, if you look at it from an economic point of view, commoditized, as in there's lots of people doing the same type of thing. So I'm assuming branding and messaging is one of those things is actually the differentiator in actually how to stand out.
Exactly. And I always tell my clients, actually, I tell architects, you need to do two things. You need to stand out. So that's kind of how you look, you sound and your feel. So your logo, your website, all the colors, all of that. But especially how you sound. And I think that's something that architects often miss is how does your brand sound? Like what's that voice? What's that distinct voice that you can create? And that's something I guess that I'm very passionate about that I've done a lot of study on is how to create that voice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's interesting because generally, you know, the larger the architecture firm or any organization gets with professional services, the more leaders that you get. And so the more diluted the voice and the brand can get. So what are some things that you do and sit down to be able to get that common voice and be able to untap that out of someone?
Exactly. So I always say that voice is made up of three things. So it's vocabulary, which is like the types of words you're using from like complex to simple. And then you've got the tone, which I explain it like this. I say like, see, you and I, we wake up in the morning and we've all got the same voice. That doesn't change throughout the day. Our voice is our voice. But what changes throughout the day is our tone. So whether we're speaking to our partner, our dog, our kids, our boss, our tone shifts. And so then you've got your vocabulary, you've also got your tone. So your tone pillars might be warm, it might be welcoming, or it might be very, I don't know, stern and technical. So you've got your different pillars. And then the last piece of the voice puzzle is your cadence. So that's the rhythm of the piece. So you might have short, sharp, choppy sentences or kind of long, windy sentences, which is a little bit more poetic. So it's a combination and it is a science. I like to think of it as a science. It's a combination of those three things put together that creates your voice. So it is more than just slapping adjectives on and saying, yeah, our voice is really friendly and welcoming. Like, no, it's there are so many more nuances and it is so much more subtle than that.
And so how do you go about that? How do you take a voice from an identity, a corporate identity? I mean, I can understand when it's sort of one main director or leader and or one founder and it's sort of taking their vision, their idea, why they want to do it. Can you talk us through what the difference is if you're doing that for one versus many?
Yeah, so what we do is I take them through this whole exercise. And as I said, it is quite scientific. So I've got this, I would say there's probably about 70 different adjectives on this, right from like playful to, you know, comedian, like there's all these adjectives. And I sit with the team and there's like five different like buckets and it's heck yes, heck no, maybe yes. And what we do is we go through each adjective and I only give them a split like 2-3 seconds to decide whether that is for them. And yeah, look, sometimes there is a bit internal conversation about it, but it's more that you have to do it instinctively. And so it does take a bit of time to go through those 70 words, but all I'm doing is just putting them into the right buckets. Then the 7 to 9 yes, that they're like, yep, this is who we want to be. I put it into this big spreadsheet that's all kind of automated. And basically I've got 9 different voice types and it just tells you, like it just ranks.
Yeah, yeah.
sounds complex, but each kind of adjective has a score to it, and it basically just spits out the voice. And then from there, so for example, one of the voices is friend at the bar. So then that's like very like casual, just how you would speak to the friend at the bar, where another one is voice of God, which is like taking a position of authority. So anyway, so then I go back to the client and I say, this is where you fell in this map. And then we workshop. So maybe friend at the bar isn't quite right, but maybe meeting with a colleague for lunch is your voice. And then we look at the tone pillars and that. So as I said, look, it is an exercise, and it does help having a copywriter or someone who knows how to do this.
Yeah.
But once you've got your voice, right? Like, yeah. As I said, like it's there.
And it's one of those interesting things in a world where AI is now, and you know, LLMs, I'm just going to go with, language models has come out. I think there's a lot of loss of voice in that too, especially when, you know, people are often saying they're seeing intenders. It's just like, it's the same crap, just reiterated, just the same thing over and over again. Yeah. And that's what makes us unique as individuals and stands out, right? Let alone trying to stand out between 10,000 other people doing essentially the same thing, but in a different way. When you find that voice, do you also need to consider what they're targeting, who their audience is? So for your example, if you're you're doing mainly boutique resi, you know, you're going to be talking to a different voice or have a different client, or what's going to speak to them is different to if you're talking in something highly technical like data centers. And if somebody does multiple different disciplines, how do you go about that?
Again, like that's the tone. That's where tone comes in. So your voice is your voice. It's overarching. It is your brand. It's your brand voice. Whereas those tone pillars, that's where it shifts. So the voice, then that tone might shift according to, again, like if you've got a very high aware client, which means that they've worked with hundreds of architects before, maybe they're a commercial property developer. So they know how architects work. So you don't have to, you can dial up and down certain parts of that tone. So there you might go for a bit more of a technical tone and a bit more of a kind of, you know, you don't have to
dive into
educating them and guiding them as much. Whereas, a low awareness, maybe a homeowner who's never dealt with an architect before, a resi client, then you might need to do a bit more guidance and hand-holding, and that tone can just be a little bit more reassuring. Again, it's very subtle. And one of the things about AI I've noticed is one thing that they miss is that cadence. So the rhythm of the piece, and that's kind of what makes it feel sometimes a bit robotic, is the words are actually fine, but it's just that every sentence sounds like duh, 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 you know, like you've got that cadence that beautiful writing has to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you do actually attract people with your writing. You've obviously got your own tone and cadence as well. I think you've got like 30,000 followers on LinkedIn and a large audience within your newsletter as well. So if anybody's interested, obviously check those out as well. But you don't just work with architects. That's where you've started and that's what you do. But it's, and I suppose it's always the best part, isn't it? Starting with the architects is where the design comes, but and that's where people want to influence and understand that. But you also have other businesses that also focus on the built environment at large as well.
Yeah, so this is all very new, so new that my website as we record this podcast hasn't even gone live yet. But yes, I have been doing this with architects for over 10 years, and what I'm noticing is that there are other, you know, parts of the built environment, like ConTech and PropTech and construction and building materials, that are also struggling with this same thing of positioning and brand messaging. So I am launching a new agency. So Nikita Morel will keep tracking along. That's my life's work. I love that. It's a new agency called Dirt, which I am going to be launching hopefully in March.
Yeah, which is great, because at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of the time people are trying to actually influence those in architecture. And if you understand the people who are either purchasing and the way that they think and they approach things, but also what they're looking for and what speaks to them, you know, builders in the same way, people looking at that. So it is about understanding audience. And as you said, finding that uniqueness to it, but being able to apply that in on site. And then you also have an exceptionally exciting venture as well. You're also about to set off on a conference or summit. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It seems like I'm just like starting all these fires. I also have 4 children, so I don't know how I'm going to juggle all of this, but I'm going to make it work. But 2 years ago, I flew to Washington, D.C. to speak at the International Architecture Conference over there. And while I was there, I met this really talented lady called Aya. And we were having a conversation. I was saying, you know, in Australia, we don't have this kind of business support that you seem to have at your AIA conference. So the conversation, it started as a joke, you know, well, let's do our own conference, and somehow it snowballed. So we are bringing a 2-day conference to Melbourne this year in October. It's called ArchiCon. And basically we have titled it the only unboring business conference for architects. So we have 2 very exciting celebrity speakers. I'm guaranteed you've heard of them. I just can't say who their names are, but we'll be announcing that soon. And they're going to be our opening speakers of the day. It's the 2 days.
And fantastic. I mean, and I think we were just talking a little bit about what the context of that is, and we'll go into that in a bit more detail. But I think that's one of the things, right? Architects don't really want to talk about the business side. They want to do the design side. But I always remember national managing partner I worked with said, you can't do good design unless you have a good business. And that is the fundamental part, because it doesn't matter how good your design is. If you don't have a business that's working well, then you can't continue to do the design. You can't get great people in to help you to do that. You don't have that brand. All of those things you've talked about from the marketing side, you know, all the parts that we work in. And that's what, you know, makes obviously the big brands and those companies that are growing and have an established market share. That's what sets them apart, is that they actually have professionals who are helping them to do that. But at the same time, it is one of those industries that I see there's a constant flurry of change in businesses. There's very, very few businesses that are multi-generational. And so what that means is we also have an industry of small businesses. About 75 to 83%, we just did some market mapping, are under 10. And so it does mean that you have so many businesses that need to be actually focusing on, and business owners and, you know, leaders within architecture firms who actually may not need to be doing the doing, but do need to be doing the thinking. And that's what your conference is going to be about, isn't it?
Exactly. It's going to be very, exactly as you said, like very actionable. So because we're saying we're unboring, we're really putting a lot of effort into the format of the talk. So for example, there's going to be no talk longer than 10 minutes, and we're going to flip the Q&A and the talk so people can ask questions. We want it to be really interactive with hot seats. So there'll be one day of talks and then the other day of workshops. So we want you to walk away with tangible things, whether it's a new business model or it's a biography that you've written in the workshop. But we want you to walk away from each of the workshops with things that you can immediately apply into your practice, because we know and we understand that this business side of things, it doesn't sometimes come naturally, or you haven't learned it. So we basically want to give you the tools, but also get it done and help you get it done. Yep.
And I think that's it, really, because sometimes the business can come secondary. There's so much always going on. Like, it's a new project, there's this and that. It's keeping on track with that and doing those things. And to also have a conference that's not just about design, that's actually focused on the business side. As you said, it's very lacking in the industry. There's very, very few that do it and focus on it. And it's also a great thing if, you know, hopefully as a director you're able to go and do, but if not, you know, you can take your studio manager or somebody who's actually other people and start to look at what you can do and to implement. Plus, being in a room and surrounded by other people, you know, the networking alone will be fantastic. And, you know, I think that's the other thing, is having a cohort of other people that you can talk to or reach out and be able to do things with as well. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Excellent. And I think your other partner in this, they also are specialized in AI and things like that as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. So there will be like an undercurrent of, you know, like a common thread of AI just woven throughout the conference. You know, it's something that we can't ignore, and it does help with, you know, the business side of things. So yeah, she comes from this company called MGS Global, and she will be bringing a lot of knowledge in that. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we've got a dress code that's no black.
I loved it when I saw that.
Yeah. And so I think, look, we just want to have fun. And then, as I said, we've got 2 hilarious comedians that are the opening. We just want everyone to kind of laugh. We want to create a safe space. I have this idea, which I'm going to make happen, that I want to have a panel where big name architects just talk about their, you know, F-ups and their failures and their mistakes, like get a bit vulnerable instead of just kind of talking theory. So, yeah, it should be a fun couple of days. I'm very excited. So,
yeah, it is. It's good. Good. Because, I mean, that is it. You know, nothing is ever perfect and, you know, everybody is always going through. You often ask people, how's it going? They're like, oh, yeah. And you're like, yeah. And then, you know, people give you the real truth after a while and you're like, yeah, okay, well, guess what? Everybody else, when you and I try to work across the industry, you're like, everybody else is going through the same thing. So it's okay. But it's that validation to be able to hear that and know you're in that safe space. So that sounds fantastic. So let's go back a little bit and talk about that. So, I mean, for you, if you're working, you know, with those emerging firms who are new and really finding their brand identity and things like that, what are some of the biggest challenges or I suppose things that you see that firms don't do well and that they should be focusing on?
Yeah, look, I think in the early days, it's just very easy. Like you want to build up your portfolio. So you just kind of say yes to a lot of work, even if it's not the type of work that you really want to be doing, but it's, you know, it's cash flow. But I think if architects take a little bit more like control over their messaging and kind of really go out hard and specific, like I think if there's one golden rule, it's to be as specific as possible. I see a lot of architecture websites that are like, you know, making your vision a reality or just very kind of wafty language. And I think the ones that do really well are they pick one audience to go after in the beginning or one niche, or they stand for something like one thing. So it doesn't have to be a typology, but I call it your architect's factor. And every firm has one. It's just about unearthing it. But basically it's just one thing that you want to stand for. And then what happens is if you're specific, you start to attract the right types of people and projects. And I think the other thing is a lot of architects just want to put all their projects up on their website to make it seem like they've done all this work. But the danger of that is that you're putting up work that you don't want more of. So I always say, look, in your portfolio, even if you just have one project and just tell the story in a beautiful way, that's enough. But at least that project is one that you want more of. So I think that it is scary to say no and to try and get really niche in the beginning, but that's kind of when you have to do it.
Well, I mean, every single firm has the stuff that they don't really publicize much, right? They're, you know, they're the cash things, right, that aren't sexy. Some of them you can't even take photos of and you can't publicize, or you're not going to pay to take photos of in other cases. But 100%, I mean, I look at it the same when I'm dealing with people. And it's the same thing. I often say to people with their resumes and their follow, you've got to understand this is a marketing document. Because at the end of the day, the first thing that they say of you is you are just a piece of paper. Right? You are, nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows that. Even when you meet, and one of the things we do is recruitment, and you meet with that and you talk and you get to the story and you get all of those things out of them, and then you bundle that up, it still has to look good on paper. Exactly. Right? So I think it is about knowing that you are selecting to what, and that's where projects and what you're doing and how you're speaking is part of that brand. It's that vibe and it's that feel, because at the end of the day, you know, the process of architecture is the same process, right? But it's how do we actually stand out? And it's funny, you know, the more that you work across the industry, sort of like, what is it that made that firm versus this? Now we know, you know, projects are, and it's a very relationship-led industry as well, but there's very rare, particularly for if you're working on larger work, you will be bidding with multiple other people. And it's that ability to obviously speak to directly what it is. And again, I think it comes down to the basic principles of marketing too, is that it isn't about you as well. And that's what I'm quite interested in as well, how you sort of find that with architects, oh, this is us. Finding that part where it's about them and talking about what they do, but actually making it about who are the people who are actually going to be utilizing them and using them.
Exactly. And like you just hit the nail on the head, like so many websites I see, and it's not their fault, but it's very me-centric. So it's kind of like, we've done this, we've won these awards, we've been in business for 20 years. But what they need to do is flip that. So they're, instead of saying, we're so amazing, it's we're so amazing, like we're going to create an amazing project for you. You know, like it's that flip. It's like, for you. And I think just by replacing that word, our clients, and speaking that kind of third, almost like with a barrier, just by replacing our clients with you makes a huge difference, because all of a sudden you're speaking directly to the reader. And that's why I said, you know, before, you want to pick one person that you're speaking to so that that messaging lands. If you've got multiple resi commercial, then have each kind of page or a section that speaks to each kind of individual type.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even if somebody goes onto your website, or if you have a Capstat, so it's one of those things that you need to have people who have multiple, like, different versions, and what you're speaking to and what you're highlighting, because what somebody's looking for in one is different to what somebody else will be looking for as well. And I think if somebody has started a business, that's the biggest thing. You start going, oh, this is me, this is what I do, and then you learn it's actually just not what you do. Who is it? Who are you helping? What is the problem that they have? And how does what you do help them to actually achieve what they're looking to achieve? Yeah. And I think that's part of it as well, because the design is one element, but at the end of the day, you know, in a market where it's quite tight, buildability and actually getting things built in the process and making it easy, and actually who you work with, is the other element of it as well. And so that's why it's quite interesting when you talk about your voice, because I think there's a part that if it's about you and what you're saying, I'm sure the person reading it is going, that's great. You're the capital A architect. Yeah. You're not the person who's going to understand me, and I'm going to get that outcome out of it. And I think in the next, you know, 10 to 20 years, we're only going to continue to see, I think, that, you know, size of a firm, you know, often when people go, oh, how big are you? That seems to be like the success factor. I think with technology coming around, that's not the success factor. You know, there's many, many people out there who do magnificent work, and they're not that large, and they don't need to be that large.
Yeah, I almost, like, I think I wrote about this on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago. I think it's going to even flip. So, like, the leaner you are, the more it's seen as like, oh, wow, like, because it means you're adopting technologies and you don't, you've kind of cut out a lot of it, and you can focus on what is going to make the difference for the client.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where it is. And I think, you know, people don't necessarily want all the overheads. People talk about all the fees and things like that. And I think there is an advantage. But I think that's interesting, you know, off topic on marketing. I think it's interesting then for emerging architects too, because they're going to be working in even smaller organizations, which is great. They'll get more end-to-end. But their exposure around the business of architecture also needs to be a primary thing that they're thinking about and investing in. And I think that when you've only got, you know, 10 to 12 people or 15 people in an organization, you can't be thinking, okay, well, they're not going to see it. You know, everybody in that boat is in that boat, all rowing together. We should all be adding to it and helping the organization to grow and to foster. And I think it's a great thing for people who are driven, who will want to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, it sounds like you certainly do help out a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And it's going to be a very exciting year ahead for 2026. What are some books we always like to sort of finish on? If there was a podcast, book, or somebody that you really think is worth people checking out, what would that be?
To be honest, my all-time favorite is Anne Hanley, Everybody Writes. So I think it is just the best kind of writing 101. And I think I've got both. Like, she updated the version and I bought that too. So I kind of reread it every year almost, because it just explains how to write succinctly and just, in a way that everyone can benefit from.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think that's it. At the end of the day, we're talking about, you know, websites and branding and positioning, but we've got to remember it's then how people are writing that on each tender. So it sounds like the benefit of getting that voice right and understanding that, to then how it can be actually filtered in to each tender and keeping that consistency. I see that working in organizations where we would have 20 to 30 different people doing tenders. It's then how do you keep it still individualized, that it's enough, but you're keeping the brand story, but how are we clear on who we are and how we talk and what it is, plus letting you as an individual leader find that. Yeah. And it's interesting. Some people have got it as a gift, and some people, you know, they need to keep working on it. Is that something that you also do? Do you also do coaching and things like that for people to, once they get their brand, to continue that on?
Yeah, so I don't do like monthly coaching, but I do have strategy sessions, which architects can just kind of book in when they need that extra support, and I can We can talk about anything, you know, whether it's me like reviewing your website copy or telling you what marketing strategy you should like perhaps adopt, or social media, all that. But so yeah, I've got quite a few clients that kind of come back to me every 6 months. They go off, they do their thing, they come back, and we talk about their results. So yeah, I've set up my Nikita Morel basically to be able to cater from everyone. Like, I've got a whole word shop with templates and things like that. I've got an AI ChatGPT masterclass for architects. So that's all on my website. So I've got any, like, even if you're just starting out fresh out of uni and want to start your own practice but don't have the money, I've made sure that I've got different tiers that I can help architects all the way through, because I think I want to make it as accessible as possible.
Oh, and I think you've done a fantastic job with that. So, you know, if you go onto your website, there is training that people can do if they want to understand, if they're not able to, you know, get somebody to pay for it to do it, to take them through and what they need to be doing and considering. So I think you've done a fantastic job at that, and I continue to see you help people as you go through as well. Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to all the exciting things ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. What a fascinating conversation. Akita has great insights and understands the industry. And I found it really interesting around that voice and the three different parts, and also her scientific way that she goes about it. Check out her website, and also her new ventures coming up. We'll include them in the show notes.